Well, looking forward to opening up this evening once again to Proverbs chapter 3. I invite your attention there if you're not yet open to Proverbs chapter 3. We have as our theme for this new year of 2015 of trusting in the Lord. And we're going to be in Proverbs 3 for still a little bit longer. And then we're going to be through different passages, Lord willing, in the weeks and months to come, looking at examples of those that have learned this important truth of trusting in the Lord, as well as some who have not, in a way that I hope will be an encouragement to all of us. I know there's different opinions on different magazines that provide information for consumers, but I'm the kind of person that if I'm going to buy something, something significant, something like a vehicle, I do my homework. Now, Nancy says I do too much homework. But I'm a person who will grab a magazine. There's a leading magazine out, you know, I think, that reviews different items. And they take one issue each year, and they devote it completely to automobiles, to vehicles. And I'll grab that copy, and I'll go through it carefully. And I'll take a look at different items that they say about different vehicles. They will decide which one is maybe the most reliable, which one will need the least amount of money in repairs. They'll rate them on how good they perform at whatever task you're buying the vehicle to perform. And they'll rank them. And you can look up rankings of pickup trucks, of economy cars, of luxury sedans, or whatever. And I'll take a look at that. And I'll go through that carefully. I'll look for a vehicle. I know what I want before I'm looking for it. I take my time. And then when I buy a vehicle, trying to find a nicer vehicle, my goal is to keep it a very, very long time. And even now I'm driving a 2002 truck that I've owned for right about 10 years now. And if I can get another 10 years out of it, that'd be great. And that's just how I like to do things. You say, why? Because buying a vehicle is, for me, a pretty big purchase. And it's something that I don't do a lot of. And when I do it, I want to make sure the best I can, I'm doing a good job. That's my introduction to Proverbs. You know, even if I buy a vehicle and I buy the wrong one, I could always sell it and try again. But, you know, you can't do that with your life. We each get one life to live, and we want our lives to go well. We want our lives to be blessed. You can't get to my age. Here I am way past halfway through life. And you can't say, you know, I want to go back and do those last 20 years over. I wish I could change things. You can't go back and change. And so before I make decisions, before I live the next year, I want to know, what does God's Word say? I realize a certain magazine that does consumer testing of vehicles may not be accurate, but God's Word is truth. So when I take the Scriptures and I open it up and I find this is what God says about having a blessed life, I know it's true. And I want to have a blessed life. I want the people I love to have a blessed life. I want you to have a blessed life. And I know you have that same desire for yourself, for your spouse, for your parents, for your children, for your loved ones. And so yet again tonight, we're going to consider this important truth of how to have a blessed life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a word that we know is truth. It's not merely even true, but it's truth itself. For Jesus has said, your word is truth. And we ask that your blessed Holy Spirit would illumine the minds of your people this evening to the words you've breathed out, that we really would understand how we all can have a blessed life by your grace, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, just to review a little bit this evening as we get started, I always like to begin with Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It's the theme verse I would suggest of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to know the Lord. You can't fear God until you know God. So a blessed life, which includes a life of wisdom, will never take place unless one fears the Lord. And that's the idea of showing reverence to the Lord. And you can't show reverence to someone you don't know, at least not in this sense. So we always begin with having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge, a personal relationship of the Holy One, is understanding. Proverbs is not a list of things to do. You know, do this, don't do that, and you'll have a blessed life. It's a book that assumes you know, if I could speak in New Testament terms, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And now that you've repented of your sin and you put faith in Christ, you're saying, Lord, as one of your children, I know you. I want to have a blessed life. Can you help me? And that's what we see in Proverbs, specifically chapter 3. Quick review. We had a message on verses 1 through 4 where we saw in verses 1 to 2, obeying God's word leads to life and peace. I'll read Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. If we submit to God's word, God promises what? He promises not only quantity of life, he promises quality of life. And then it goes on in verses 3 and 4 and shows us that practicing love and faithfulness leads to favor with God and man. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And then we made it last time to verse 5, which was a second verse that told us how to have a blessed life. What? We must trust the Lord completely. As verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then secondly, we must not rely on ourselves. Or as Solomon records, do not lean on your own understanding. Tonight what I'd like to do is have a very simple message, but I hope a message that will encourage you in knowing how to have a blessed life. That'll be taken from verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. How is it that we can have a blessed life? Two very simple points. Obviously, we're taking them both from verse 6. And so my guess is you could write these out even before I give them to you. Number one, we must acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Notice the first half of verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Let's take that a phrase at a time. First of all, we must know the Lord. You might have this in a footnote. A lot of you have studied Bibles, which is a wonderful thing. Where it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, the Hebrew word translated acknowledge in the King James and the ESV and the New American Standard is much more than really simply acknowledge, even though acknowledge is a good translation. For example, you might bring special music sometime as part of our worship, and it's a very common thing that I'll acknowledge that, or Pastor Ward or whoever will acknowledge that, and I'll say, that was a blessing. Thank you. And then I move on. I've acknowledged you. I said, yeah, you played the piano. Thank you. That's a blessing. Okay, let's go. And I'm not thinking about you anymore. That's not what this word acknowledge means. And again, in your footnote or in your little notes in your Bibles, your study Bible, you might see that. The Hebrew word is literally the word know. So that's why I've put this, A, we must know the Lord. It's the idea that we must, one commentator puts it this way, that we must be aware of the Lord. We must have fellowship with the Lord. We must have an intimate knowledge of God. And what would that include? Well, it's kind of a hard thing. Different translations go different ways. The Holman, a Christian Standard Bible, puts it this way. Think about him in all your ways, because if you really know the Lord, again, you're not just acknowledging him with kind of a wink, but you're thinking about him all the time. Or maybe this will help. The New Century Version. This is a Bible you're probably not as familiar with, but years ago, our previous pastor, Dr. Custer, would encourage many of us when we had it for our younger children to get those red Bibles. Do you remember those? That's the International Children's Bible, which was just another marketing way of presenting the New Century Version, which puts it this way, remember the Lord in all you do. See, it's more than just a nod of, hey, you played the piano, and sincerely, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's an acknowledgement. This word means more than that. Again, I'm thinking about the Lord in all my ways. I'm remembering the Lord. And even more than that, because it's not the idea of think about God and remember Him and live your own life. That's not what it means either. So maybe the NIV will help. In all your ways, submit to Him. And that's what's going on in this word, that in all your ways, know Him or acknowledge Him. Now, as you know, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, the New Testament's written in Greek, but I'd like to use a New Testament example that may help us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, the King James I'm reading from, this text, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Paul's talking about the elders. So in the Bible, King James translation, it says you're supposed to know the elders. Know the men that labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. But what does that mean? You know, does that mean you have to know the names of the elders? Is that what we're talking about? Well, it means more than that, even though literally in the Greek text, the verb to know is used. But it means more than simply know. Thus, the NIV translates it. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. So I think it's interesting. The word literally means know. It can be translated by the word acknowledge, same as Proverbs 3, verse 6. But let's keep going. In the New American Standard, as many of you know, you have it tonight. It says, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. So the word that literally means know can also mean appreciate. Or how about the ESV? We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. So what do we see? The verb to know can mean to acknowledge, to appreciate, and to respect. I think we can apply all of those to Proverbs 3:6. What does it mean to acknowledge the Lord or to know the Lord? It means to appreciate the Lord. It means to respect the Lord because we know the Lord. You say, what does that look like practically? Well, maybe a negative example would help. What would happen if I'm going to use somebody as an illustration, somebody that I know, okay? So I'm looking at my son-in-law, okay? And now here's my son-in-law, and you want to stand up, Phil? This is just a simple illustration. I should have told you it's coming. And my daughter's getting great pleasure in this, okay? So let's just say that Phil's here, and it's handshake time, right? And he's my son-in-law, and I know him. And so here I am, and I kind of look at Phil, and then I just shake hands with Brandon, right? And I shake hands with Pete. And I shake hands with Ward, and I give Donna maybe a fist bump. Yeah. And then there's Phil, and I just kind of turn my back on him. And thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Have I just shown respect to my son-in-law? I acted like you helped me. What am I going to finish the sentence? I acted like I don't even. Maybe that's what this means. How many times, to my shame, do I act like I don't even know the Lord? You know, I jump in my truck and I go down the road and I haven't even prayed. And I'm not saying a really long prayer. But how about, Lord, thank you for my truck. And thank you for the road. And thank you for the health to drive it and the battery, whatever. And thank you that I could be, just say you're going to the store. Thank you that I can go to the store to buy milk and bread because snow is coming, but it's all gone. Okay, that's right. You got to get there early. Ice cream. That's right. And here I am going to the store to buy ice cream. And I'm going to start changing that because one of the ladies came up and said, since we've been attending Trinity, we have more ice cream in our house than ever because you tend to use that. Okay, we'll say milk and bread. And the idea of just going into the store and buying milk and bread, if we really knew the Lord, and we do know the Lord, but if we were obeying this verse, we would be saying, Lord, and thank you for the milk, and thank you for the bread, and you're such a gracious God, and there would be communion. You see how that's different than just acknowledge. It wouldn't be go to the store, buy milk and bread, come home, and, oh, yeah, thanks, Lord. See, that's acknowledging. It's richer than that, even though that's a good translation. We need to respect the Lord. We need to appreciate the Lord. That's what it says here. And notice what else is here in verse 6. It begins with, in all your ways. So we must know the Lord. That is true. And yet the Bible says that we must know the Lord in all our ways. So going through every day, everything that I do, I should be showing that I know the Lord. And again, not to be silly with the example, but if my son-in-law and I, if we were maybe at his house just working in the yard, or if he were at my house, which would be better, helping me work in the yard, then it would be a very common thing if he were helping me to say, Phil, I really appreciate you helping me, and I really appreciate you doing this, and it sure is good to see, and I hope things are well. Just kind of a communication with him. In all of our ways, maybe a good example of this is taken from something that King David said a long time ago. It's recorded in 1 Chronicles 28:9. Let me just give you a bit of context. As you know, King David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And the Lord said, no, David, you're a man of bloodshed. You're a man of war. I appreciate it, but you're not doing it. Solomon will do it. So here is David telling the leaders of God's people that it's Solomon who's actually going to build the temple. And he's addressing the leadership. And then he addresses Solomon. And I read 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David speaking is, for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Notice what it says. Know the God of your father with a whole heart. Know the Lord completely. That would be in everything, right? That would be at home. For us, that would be school. That would be at work. That would be at vacation. That would be in every single thing that you do, that you would show that you know the Lord. And this is what the text is saying. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Or perhaps I could say, in all of your ways, know Him. What would that look like practically? I mean, I just made a list of opportunities to show that you know the Lord. Just try to make it general, and maybe one or two of these will connect. For example, you're maybe in junior high. You're not invited to a birthday party. All the other kids were invited to, and you feel snubbed. You feel bad. You say, what do? You show that you know the Lord, and you live in a way that would demonstrate that I know the Lord. The coach benches you because he wants his son to pitch, but yet you know you're a better pitcher. You say, what do? You acknowledge him. You know him. You live like you know the Lord. You fail Greek for the third semester in a row, and now you can't major in Bible. You have to change your major. What do? Well, you show that you know the Lord. You've always wanted to get into med school, but you can't get in. What do? You would show that you know the Lord. You're fired from your job or your business fails. Your coworker doesn't do nearly the work you do, and yet he gets promoted. You don't. Your child maybe decides to move to a faraway country with your grandchildren. You think, what's this? A spouse maybe proves unfaithful. A loved one passes away. A cancer test is positive. And maybe even those everyday things that can drive us crazy. A person pulls out in front of you and then drives very slowly. You say, what is that an opportunity to do? You say, flash my brights, right? Get on their bumper. No. It's an opportunity to show that you know the Lord. You get home and the house is a mess. Dinner's not ready. Or maybe you work hard to make the house nice. Dinner is ready. And your husband is late. You say, what is every one of those an opportunity to do? Every one of those examples is an opportunity to show that you know the Lord. That's what this text is saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what we must do. We must acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Let me give you a very practical illustration. this past Tuesday night, we had a elders meeting, and that was when the weather was still being predicted to be quite bad in the next couple of days. And so we were praying about the weather, praying about the upcoming Wilds weekend. One of the questions, I had two questions that night. Greg, what are we going to do if the speaker can't make it from Virginia? And by that time, he already texted me and said, you know, let's pray because they're calling for heavy snow in Virginia Beach, and I'm not exactly sure what that means. So someone said to me, what are we going to do? Do you have a plan B? And I said, no, I don't have a plan B. I said, if I have to, I'll come up with a plan B, but I don't have one. You say, well, then what do you do at that point in time? We do what we always do. We acknowledge the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And you simply remind yourself, God, you're in control. This is not my conference, right? The Wilds is not my camp, and Trinity's not my church. If you don't want the speaker to get here, that's up to you. You say, well, then what are you going to do? We're going to know the Lord. We're going to acknowledge the Lord. You say, well, what would you have done? Just what I've said. We would have acknowledged the Lord. We would have known the Lord, and He would have worked everything out. Second question, Greg, what are we going to do if we can't get up to the Wilds? Well, obviously, if it's not safe, we're not going. Well, what are we going to do financially? Do we still pay the Wilds? I don't know. Or do we keep the money and refund it back to our people? I don't know. You say, so what would we do? And again, the response is we're going to know the Lord. We're going to acknowledge the Lord. We're going to say, Lord, we are going to honor you, whatever that means. That's what we're going to do. That's always the right answer, no matter the question. We're going to do, by God's grace, what would honor the Lord, what would show reverence for the Lord. We're going to acknowledge the Lord. And we are confident that He will bless us. Notice the text. It says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, in all your ways know Him, or in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He will bless us with straight paths. Let's take that a step at a time. First of all, this includes walking the right path. Now, many of you know the King James from memory, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And that's certainly accurate. It is true that the Lord will direct our paths. Or as the Holman Christian Standard Bible again puts it, He will guide you on the right path. So when we acknowledge God, when we know God, when we seek to show reverence for God, He promises that He will put us on what kind of path? He promises that He'll put us on the straight path or the right path. Not a crooked path. Proverbs 2 tells us this. Proverbs 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, when you are rightly related to the Lord, I read now from Proverbs 2, 11, discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Okay, so we're thinking about an evil way. Now notice what it says next in verse 13, 14, and 15. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, here it comes, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. In biblical thinking, the crooked path is the wicked path. It's the evil path. When the Bible talks about a straight path, it's God putting us on the right path. So there's a promise in the Scripture. It says what? It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Another way of saying that is He will deliver you from crooked paths. What's a crooked path look like? How is that for a picture of a crooked path? That is a road that is in the Swiss Alps. And that road, just some of you are getting car sick just looking at it, right? I mean, if I said to you, do you want to have a life like that? You would say no. I mean, left, right, you never make any progress. That would be a horrible road. Now, four rows back, Kenny is smiling ear to ear. And here's where I have to, this is some illustrations can break down. In biblical thinking, that's a crooked path. That's bad. If you ride a motorcycle, you like that path. See, that's why this is confusing. So Kenny's sitting there thinking, Greg, that's the kind of road I want to ride. Why? What's wrong? But see, so if you're going to, they didn't have motorcycles then, Kenny. All right? So you have to, here's a couple of Trinity guys we went out riding this spring. We had a nice day. None of these guys can understand Proverbs 3 well, okay, because they ride motorcycles, all right? So we're just going to forget about them and talk to everybody else and get back to crooked paths. Crooked paths are bad. And that would make sense, right? Because if the goal of life is for me to have a blessed life and I want to go from here to here, I don't want all kinds of roadblocks. So a crooked or twisted path is a path of the wicked man. You don't want to be on it. And thus we see here in the scriptures what? It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That includes the Lord directing us on the straight path, on the right path. And if you stay with that a little bit, you find out, you know what? It's even more than that. Because it not only means that God will make sure we're walking the right path, but in this verse is the idea that God will bless us as we walk that path. So when we're talking about this verse, it's not merely, and he will direct your paths, even though that's true. But as we read in our New American Standard Bibles, he will make your paths straight. ESV, he will make straight your paths. NIV, he will make your path straight. And you want to be thinking of this kind of a road. Now, most of us see this kind of a road and we smile. Okay? And Kenny's frowning, all right? He's like, I don't want to ride that road. But see, this is the kind of road spiritually God wants you on. And this is a blessing to be. This is a picture of just a straight road. And God will put you on this path, and he will bless you by putting you on this path, and he will bless you on this path if you follow the scriptures where it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. You say, Greg, it almost sounds like that he'll bless me, yeah, with success. And I'm back to the New Century Version, which reads, and he will give you success. You can have a successful life. You can have a blessed life. Obviously, it doesn't mean you're always healthy or you ever become wealthy. But according to scriptures, you can have a life of success. Being on the straight path God wants you to be on, enjoying the blessings of the Lord while you're on that path, if that's what you're willing to do, is to show that you know him or acknowledge him in all your ways. Maybe another illustration will help. Many years before this event took place, in fact, it was more than 150 years before it came to pass, Isaiah prophesied that Cyrus would come and that Cyrus would issue a decree that the Babylonian captivity would come to an end, that God's people would be released from captivity, then they would go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. And the wording of Isaiah 45:13 is such, it says this, I will make, speaking of Cyrus, I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and will let my exiles go free. What does that mean? It means I will bless Cyrus with success. That's what this passage is talking about. Now, I want to be careful. This doesn't mean necessarily having a trouble-free life. It doesn't mean troubles never come your way. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're in Proverbs 3, and we'll come to this in time. But look down to verse 25, please. And let me just read two verses kind of later in the chapter, verse 25 and 26. It doesn't mean a trouble-free life. In verse 25 and 26 of Proverbs 3, make that clear. Proverbs 3:25, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Now, the context, again, is if you're rightly related to wisdom, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, notice it says, don't be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked, which clearly means things that are scary are still going to happen. And that will include wicked people wanting to hurt you. Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. What does that mean? That even when the wicked try to hurt you, God will be with you and God will bless you and God will keep your foot from being caught. And again, we have to think of a military kind of hand-to-hand foot soldier context to make this make sense for us, right? In the ancient world, how would these guys fight? Well, it's not mechanized warfare, right? They're not in tanks and things like that. Generally, it's just soldiers going hand-to-hand, foot soldiers. And you say, what's the worst thing that could happen to you if you're being chased? That someone's chasing you and your foot goes down between two rocks and you're stuck. Your foot's caught. And there's nothing you can do. Because the people that are coming at you now, all they have to do is come around you and they're going to kill you. It's going to be hard to protect yourself with the shield when your foot's caught. See, God doesn't say, if you put me first and know me, no problems come. He does say when the problems come, verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. This is what the Scripture is talking about. When we know the Lord, when we show that we know Him, when we respect Him, when we honor Him, when we show that we love Him and we think about Him, right? Not just tipping my hat like to my son-in-law or whoever maybe plays the piano. And again, that's appropriate. But when we really, really fellowship with Him and pray with Him, what does He promise? The Scripture promises, and He will make your paths straight. I want to close with a very simple illustration. That's going to be kind of hard to see. But that's a map of where we're at tonight. Let me show you where we're at right here. Do you see that map? That little pin right there is Trinity Bible Church, our building. Okay? Suber Road, right here. And I have something else marked on the map. Right here is downtown Greenville. It used to be called the Bilo Center. Now it's called the Wellness Arena. And in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have a church activity. We're going to, if you would want to join us, head down to a hockey game and just enjoy an evening together. Okay. Brother Greg, how do I get to the hockey game? Well, it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, I think most of you know this. I hope you can see it a little bit. Just leave our parking lot, turn right, and then turn right on 29, Wade Hampton Boulevard, and take 29 all the way down. It's a straight shot. It's beautiful. Just get on Wade Hampton, go right down to Greenville, and you'll be at the hockey game. But there are many other ways to get there. You could pull out of our parking lot and take a left and go north on 29. And you can take 29 all the way up through Lyman, and you could take 29 here to 85. Then you could take 85 south and stay on that all the way until you hit 385, and then jump on 385, and you could head north. And you can get there, but it's going to take you a lot longer. It's going to cost you more gas. It's going to take more rubber off your tires. It's going to be harder to do what God wants you to do if you go that way. Others would say, well, what if I pull out of the parking lot and go left? Well, you can jump way up here to 290, and then you come down, I hope this is right, down 25 and 276 kind of through the TR way, and then eventually you come down here, down 291, I think, right in here, and then you end up this way. But the same thing's going to happen. It's going to take you so long and so much gas, and it's going to make life harder. Whenever a Christian says, I don't want to acknowledge the Lord, I don't want to live like a Christian, then you're saying, Lord, will you put me on the zigzag path? And what's going to happen is life's not going to go well. And you're going to get spiritually carsick. And your life's going to be a mess. Because you're not acknowledging the Lord in all your ways. But by God's grace, even when hard times come, if we say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I know what your word says. And your word says, if I will live like I know you, if I will acknowledge you in all of my ways, you will put me on the straight path and you'll bless me on that path. And you know what you find? You find, whoa, I made it right to downtown. And I was on the straight path and I got there. And I don't feel carsick. And I made it in good time. And it did. I just have a blessed life. And that's what Proverbs 3:6 is talking about. And God wants us to be on that path. He'll put you on the path and He'll bless you on that path. You say, so what do I have to do? I have to make sure that I am showing that I know Him in all that I do. And He promises that He'll put me on the straight path. Wrap it up this evening. If we acknowledge the Lord, and acknowledge means to know. If we know the Lord and show that we know the Lord in all that we do, we talk to Him, we love Him, we pray to Him, we give thanks to Him, then what does He promise? He will bless you with straight paths. God is not against you. God is for you. And God is not looking at you tonight saying, I'm going to put him on a twisted path because I just want to mess him up. No, no. That's not God. God wants to not only put you on a straight path, He wants to bless you while you're on that path. And for that to happen, we all need to show that we know Him in all our ways. And He will make our paths straight.